We'll hear argument now in the fourth case, Land of Lincoln Goodwill Industries against PNC Bank. Ms. DeFilippo.
Yes. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Ashley DeFilippo, and I represent the appellant, Goodwill Industries. Goodwill brought this case asking the district court for an order to enforce the contract that the parties themselves wrote. The district court failed to do so. We are now here asking this court to use its de novo review and reverse the decision of the district court. The central issue in this case is the interpretation of the loan agreement between Goodwill and PNC Bank. The district court was erroneous in its determination that Goodwill was subject to a prepayment charge, and it failed to follow established principles of contract interpretation.
Let's talk about Section 9.1B.
Yes, Your Honor.
Because it talks about a period during which interest accrues at a fixed rate. Why doesn't that perfectly describe the first 10 years of the loan agreement, notwithstanding the change in rate that might occur at the end of 10 years? The rate was, in fact, fixed for the first 10 years, right?
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, I would actually disagree that the rate should be considered a fixed rate for the first 10 years.
Is it your position that an agreement, that the agreement has to label itself as a fixed rate in order for the prepayment? Is that your view?
That is exactly my view, Your Honor. I think if we look at the language of Section 9.1B, which Your Honor just brought up, this states that the prepayment charge will be applicable in a time when the unpaid principal balance bears interest or is scheduled to bear interest at a fixed rate. We never have a fixed rate in this case, Your Honor.
How does the rate was? How was it established?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
How was the rate established?
The rate was established by the terms of the contract themselves. The contract had a section of definitions, and in those definitions, we have the initial rate, and then we have the adjustment rate date. And the interest rate in this contract is always described and defined as being an adjustable rate. We must have the initial rate.
Wait. No, how was the 9 point whatever it was established?
The section of the contract, is that what you're talking about, Your Honor?
The percentage rate, how was that established?
The percentage rate was agreed to by the parties when they contracted.
For 10 years?
That's what it was defined as.
So
yes,
that's not adjustable.
We would argue that it is adjustable because any rate must start out as an initial rate. There's no rule that says how many.
So when you and the parties entered into it, they said it's 9, but we may change it within 10 years.
That is not a part of the contract. The contract never said.
So the contract, what it says is that's the rate.
Yes,
for the 10 years.
Yes, it did say that this is the rate for 10 years.
And that doesn't seem to me to be adjustable then.
Well, Your Honor, I would argue that it is adjustable because there's no rule that says how many times an interest rate must adjust to be an adjustable rate. An adjustable rate could adjust once. It could adjust every month. It could adjust every 10 years, which is the circumstance.
Except this contract provided for the rate to change after 10 years.
That is correct.
But so, not otherwise.
That is correct. For the first 10 years, we did have the initial rate. But, Your Honor, there is no mention in this contract of the rate ever being a fixed rate. To now say...
Other than the fact that it is a fixed rate.
It is.
Well, respectfully, I would disagree with that.
Counsel, in your view, what role does Section 9 play in this contract?
Section 9, the entire Section 9 plays the role of it dictates the circumstances that if Goodwill decided to prepay the loan, if one of those circumstances were present...
And will one of those circumstances ever be present on your reading?
Never.
It will never be present.
I agree. It would never.
As far as I can tell, on your view, the only thing, the only function Section 9 serves is to provide blank space between Section 8 and Section 10.
I believe that is the circumstance.
That's not how we normally read contracts, is it?
I think that we read contracts looking at the plain and ordinary meaning of the terms.
Giving
that
it some meaning.
There's an ambiguity in this contract. It could mean that if the rate ever varies, then it's never a fixed rate loan. That's your view. It could mean, this is the district court's view, that during the first 10 years it's fixed rate and after that it's a variable rate. Could mean one or the other of those things. One of those readings will give Section 9 a function. The other will cover it with whiteout. Now, why don't courts read the language in a way that gives it a function?
Well, I believe that courts do generally try to read contracts in a way that gives effect to every provision that is in a contract. The issue that comes up in this case is we just do not have the circumstances present for 9.1 to be applicable. I think 9.2, it could have happened. 9.3, it could have happened. We just do not have those circumstances present in this case.
I gather that this was an individually negotiated contract. This wasn't a form that somebody picked up that might include some irrelevant terms.
From the way I understand it, Your Honor, it was a general form contract that was used, but yes, the parties did contract for it.
Yeah, individually negotiated it, as you would expect in a $20 million deal.
Yes.
Maybe.
Going on, Your Honors, I do believe that the court did overstep its boundaries when it created these two 10-year fixed rate periods. These two 10-year periods were never stated in the contract. They were never talked about or constructed by the parties. So for the court to come in and say that there are now two-year periods, it isn't evidenced anywhere in the contract by our plain reading of the contract's terms. In further evidence that the parties intended a variable rate in this case, I would ask the court to look at the IRS form that was filed in this case. This was a form that both parties had to agree to and sign off on, and it had to be filed with the IRS. On that form, the parties specifically wrote that this was a variable rate loan. This was not a fixed rate loan.
Well, it wasn't fixed for the term of the loan.
Variable year 11.
Yes, it was
fixed for 10 years. Variable for 10.
Yeah.
And, Your Honor, I would ask the court to look at other cases in which courts have found that there was fixed rate periods. That's usually described.
Well, I actually was interested in other cases. The terms like Section 9 have to be in a lot of contracts.
Yes, Your Honor.
So if you go looking to see whether the Supreme Courts of states have construed language like Section 9 to apply or not apply in split fixed and variable contracts, what do you find?
Well, Your Honor, we did cite two cases in our brief.
Yeah, which don't involve that situation.
Right, but I think
so
that
if you look for this situation, what do you find?
We did look for this.
I'll tell you that I went looking and found nothing.
I would agree. I did not find anything that showed this exact situation.
Not surprising to you?
I think that it is surprising, but also not, Your Honor. I would argue that it's not surprising because when you look at the plain terms of the contract spells out how we are supposed to handle this situation. And that is when there is an adjustable rate, you treat it as an adjustable rate. Your Honor, I see my light is on, so thank you. I'll save my time for rebuttal.
Certainly, counsel. Mr. Roden.
May it please the court. Good morning. My colleague, Mr. Benetti, is with me. The terms of the loan agreement, they say it during a period when the unpaid principal balance bears interest or is scheduled to bear interest at a fixed rate, the prepayment charge applies. And as counsel indicated, there were two terms, the initial 10-year term, which reset on October 5th of 2017. She talked about the other than that, the loan describes it as an adjustable rate. That's not the case. If you look at the definitional section, there are lots of rates that are talked about, base rate, taxable rate.
Oh, I understand that this is not before us, but what would have happened if the borrower had tried to prepay in year 12? Would a prepayment penalty have been required?
Yes, it would have. Because actually, Your Honor, it doesn't switch to an adjustable rate in years.
I understand that that's your view, that in year 11 it moves from one fixed rate to another.
Correct.
But, of course, that gives you problems because the Section 9 says during the period when it's fixed, here's the prepayment penalty. And on your view, it's fixed all the time.
No, that's not.
So this whole, except for the epsilon, you know, the nanosecond when it switched from one to the other, it's fixed all the time.
No, it's not. Your Honor, if you look at Section 9.2, 9.2 describes the situation when the bond, when the bonds become taxable. In that situation, prepayment is allowed, and the interest rate switches to a variable interest rate under the 9.2 scenario, and there would not be a prepayment penalty other than a prepayment partial penalty that may have been requested before the bonds went taxable. So it's not always.
So you think the during the period when language is just limited to the situation where the bond becomes taxable?
That and, Your Honor, Section 9.1 talks about a partial prepayment when the calculation of the prepayment charge includes it's a calculation that's set forth in the loan addendum. If you run through the calculation and interest rates have risen, then there wouldn't be a prepayment charge allowed because the calculation would derive a negative number. So it is not the case that we're saying prepayment always applies. It applies when the parties agreed to and included those terms in these contracts, and not all of those times exist. So we're not saying the flip side of what they're saying, number one. And number two, what they're saying is incorrect. It's not a variable rate interest. I mean, words have meaning, and the meaning is if you try to prepay when the interest bears calculation at a fixed rate, you pay the prepayment charge that was negotiated and agreed to by the parties. And I would add, you know, I heard counsel say something about form documents. If you look at the loan addendum, their CEO signed it. That addendum includes a provision that says we have the advice of counsel. We understand what these are. It grants to PNC a lot of discretion.
Did they tender payment at the time when they sought to prepay?
No, they did not, Your Honor. They sought the declaratory that was an impermissible charge based on 9.1.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing before the court on the calculation or the any other permissible arguments other than the contract terms. Your Honors, I think the language says what it says. It certainly applies here, and we respectfully ask that the court affirm the district court.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roden. Anything further, Ms. DeFilippo?
Thank you. Your Honor, I only have one point to make on rebuttal. I think what counsel is arguing is that there are two distinct 10-year periods here, and that other than Section 9.2, if that were to apply, he is saying that by Section 9.1, the only time when this rate is considered an adjustable rate would be on that interest rate adjustment day. Otherwise, the prepayment charge would be
during the interest rate adjustment second. It doesn't take a whole day.
Sure. And I would even agree with that, Your Honor, that we would have an adjustment rate second. And for that 1 second, he's saying that it would be an adjustable rate. At all other times, we are looking at a fixed rate, and I just don't think that is what the contract says, and that is not what
I don't think that's what he said.
He said that 1 second plus what happens if it turns into a taxable loan.
Right, and that is the point I tried to make. So if it became a taxable loan, which would be covered under 9.2, but he's saying at all other times 9.1 would apply because we have two fixed 10-year periods, and I just don't see that language.
At least that observation, if it becomes a taxable loan, leaves a lot of work for Section 9-2, including the language about during the fixed rate period. But your argument leaves no work for Section 9 to do ever. That's a problem.
Your Honor, I would disagree with that in that I see my time's up. If I can just finish my thought.
You can finish the sentence.
Thank you. We completely agree that 9.2 Section 9.2, if the loans lost their taxability, could apply, and Section 9.3, if the bonds changed, then Section 9 becomes applicable. Mm-hmm. So respectfully, we would ask you to reverse the decision of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.